The Specials Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello everybody. A special edition of the Specials Podcast this week. In all truth, I had a Eurovision podcast intro last year and it's gone. I think Rob stole it and he's been using it for his own personal entertainment. We are here to look at the Eurovision Song Contest 2014. At the end, we'll have a little look at the BGT latest prices as well. Delighted to say that Rob Dixon is on the line, as ever. Hi Rob, you well?
Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
Ready for the big one.
You're obviously over there, ready for the big contest. Camped in Copenhagen. How is it out there?
Me?
No.
No. Sat in a very wet Lincoln at the moment. That's as close as I've got to Copenhagen.
Right. Okay. Well, luckily, we have got people over there. First of all, from the website esctips.com, Gav Lambert, you dedicate yourself to this. Gav, you've been over there 2 weeks. It's fair to say you're across this competition.
I am all over the competition. Yeah, yes. I've been out here nearly 2 weeks in what was warm at first and now is a very moist Copenhagen.
Ready for the big night tomorrow night. We're going to talk about all the different odds and get Gav's opinion. We've also got two of the William Hill in-play traders over there as well. Ben Rhodes and I think Jessica Wass on the phone at the minute.
Hi.
How are you doing, Ben? Jess? You all right?
Yes, thank you. How are you?
Very good. When did you arrive in Copenhagen?
We arrived today.
All right. You've only just got there?
Yeah, we went last night.
Oh, right. You haven't been drinking on the plane. Every time she picks the phone up, Ben says that she manages to press the off button with her ear.
Women, isn't it?
How does she do that?
How big's her ear?
Did you say ear?
Ear.
Yeah, I thought you did. We'll get them back on in a second. Let's crack on, though, with the outrights, first of all. And it's a pretty tight heat this year, it's fair to say. Top of the betting, right there, 11-4 is the entry from Sweden. And this is a little flavour of what you're going to get from Sanna Nielsen. Sweden always seem to be at the top of the betting in the Eurovision Song Contest. Obviously, got an amazing history in the tournament, if you like. Gav, your thoughts as a favourite at 11-4? What's the support like been out there? That was the actual live performance from the semi-final.
But it's quite difficult to gauge because you've got a lot of Scandi people here anyway. Because you know it's only about 10 miles away from here over the bridge, and so you've got a lot of inside support. A lot of Swedish press here, so they hype it. It's been given quite a good draw from 13. The local broadcaster has certainly helped them. I just think there's something very cold and calculating about Sweden's entry. I think if you compared it to Johanna from Iceland in 2009, which was a bit more Disney princess, Sanna Nielsen is a bit more of the evil stepmother. I don't think she comes across as well on screen. It's got a kind of a wrecking ball sound to it, so it's more current, and traditional ballads don't tend to hit the top four as much anymore. It tends to be those with a slight R&B or poppy influence, and I think Sweden's song does have that. So I would say top five maximum. I just don't think it's going to get the win, and I don't think Sweden wants to get the win.
Yeah, right. There is all sorts of politics in this, Rob. Your thoughts on Sweden as a fav? I mean, it's not always been fav, of course, in this market.
No, Armenia have been strong favs really up to Tuesday. And, I mean, Armenia's been on the drift. We'll talk about that in a minute. But Sweden made themselves sort of second favourite from quite early on. I think once the national final was completed, then Sweden have always been second favourite. So it goes without saying that as Armenia have dropped off the pace and then Sweden have taken hold. I agree slightly with Gav. I don't think it's one of those songs that really sort of has that real sort of pizzazz and push that you need. You think of sort of Loreen a couple of years ago and that was a fantastic song. This is a pale imitation really of, it's just for me a little bit boring. And yeah, I think at 11 to 4, we're quite happy to take it on. The liabilities are quite high in Sweden at the moment, mainly because they were good. They were a very good each way bet, really, to nothing, with Armenia being so short at the time. So while at 11 to 4 is probably too short for each way punters, we're not really seeing. We've got quite big each way liabilities on it, but the win part, we haven't really seen a lot over the week.
We've got the guys back on. I think Ben's confiscated the phone from Jess now. Is that right, Ben?
No, he's giving it me back.
Oh, he's giving you it back. Right, don't press the off button.
No, I don't know what I'm doing.
It's fine. Sweden have got the drawn 13th in the final of 26, of course, so slap bang in the middle with Sanna Nielsen singing Undo. We've just heard a little clip of it when we were getting you back on. Any love from you or Ben for the Swedish song? Because the guys here aren't particularly keen.
I quite liked it. I think it's like the best Scandinavian song for this year. But I'd like to see the Ukraine win, to be fair. Would like to see Sweden win.
1-3 Sweden now to win the top Nordic country. So the traders here agreeing with Jess there. Let's move on with the outright, shall we? Austria 3-1. This is one of the biggest gambles so far. Let's have a little listen to Conchita Wurst. Someone in the crowd, Rob, was talking about sounding. It was like Cher being in the room. You've seen a lot of money for Conchita Wurst for Rise Like a Phoenix, Rob.
Yeah, they've been the big steamer really from sort of last night. Obviously, probably the performance of the night from Conchita. I mean, it's typical Eurovision. This is going to split people straight down the middle. Think sort of Dana International for Israel a few years back, and this is what you've got. You've got a drag queen on stage. It sparked controversy wherever you go, really. Obviously, once he was announced that they were going to represent Austria, there was big protests in Austria about it. Belarus there's petitions for Belarus and Russia both to edit the performances out of their Eurovision broadcast. So with the situation in Russia at the moment, sort of they see this as a sort of anti-Russia vote as well. So I think it's going to have its supporters. 33-1 it was a few days ago. 3-1 now does look a bit too short. It is in the first half of the draw as well, where traditionally the winners come out the second. 11, just behind Greece. Germany, I think it's one of those where I think it might just sneak into the top five, but for the winner, I think it's going to be tough for it to win.
Gav, did you see the live performance?
I've seen it several times this week.
What is it like? I mean, that's what everyone's raving about, the fact that in the actual auditorium, it's that's where all the support's come from.
Yeah, it does catch the eye. The stage show is immense, and it's really nicely framed. Just going back to Rob's points about points from the East. I mean, it's going to attract a massive pink vote. But interestingly, it has hit the iTunes chart in Russia.
Right.
But I don't see any support from Russia for this. Mm. I don't see much support from the East, and that's going to be the problem for it. And also, there were rumours going around afterwards that it did rather well with the juries in the semi-final. But I think this is a classic song that is going to suffer the jury drop. So it's before Sanna Nielsen. It's also way before Spain, which comes later in the running order. And I think that is going to negate any kind of charge for a win. I think it's probably going to be top 10. It may even get close to top 5, but I think it's going to fall short of getting a win.
Yeah, Jess. It's kind of like a tradition, if you like, to have like a, you know, not necessarily a drag act, but an act that is just a little bit different. We've seen lots over the years. This must be one of the ones that you're looking forward to seeing when you actually watch the final rehearsals and the actual show itself.
Well, when we saw it last night, everyone was cheering it on around us, and then the support was huge for it when it went through in like 10th place. I mean, people around us were saying that it was definitely going through, but it was good in the auditorium, but I'm not sure if it will get 5. I think it definitely will get top 10 with how many people are supporting it in there.
Yeah, maybe a top 10 bet rather than a top 5 one. Third in the betting at the Netherlands at 3-1. Here's a little taster. When you edit songs for like into 30-second clips, you always look for the bit that, you know, the real hook, so, you know, people remember it. Really difficult finding the hook in this song, just from a purely editing point of view. This is the Common Linnets, Calm After the Storm. It just seems to meander along, this one, Gav.
Yeah, but this is just a lesson in perfect staging. I like you, when it first came out, I thought, well, if they just stand still on stage, this is just going to die, and it probably won't qualify. But when we first saw it on stage with that kind of monochrome backdrop, that intense kind of looking at each other in the eye and the way that the camera pans around them and they engage with the camera, there's a lot of tension between the two of them. And they're the classic kind of male-female duet that does tend to do well at Eurovision. You go back to 2010, Paula Selling and Ovi for Romania playing with Fire. That again, it's another classic duet, and that was another triumph of staging. So I think the Dutch have really done a good job here, and you know, it's stormed iTunes. It's outperformed many countries' entries, other countries' entries in their own country. Like it was outperforming Running in Hungary. So that just indicates how strong it is. And you know, if you're looking for an entertaining show, it's what comes across on TV. It's not a Spotify playlist. Which is what I like to describe it as. It, you know, it's entertainment. Looking at their position in the running order, it looks as if they won their semi-final. So that's how they form the running order. So it looks as if they've got a good pimp slot straight after the host country, which is a nice contrast. So I think they're on for the win.
Jess or Ben, whoever's on the phone at the minute, any strong thoughts on the Netherlands? 3-1, same price as Austria?
Yeah, I've had the Netherlands in my top 10 since the start, since we first got the album. I just really liked it. And I thought it was something different, that no one's ever really done, like a country western kind of song. It looked really good, though. Like, there were so many people with flags there supported it last night, even though they weren't on. I definitely think it's got a top 10 finish.
Yeah, top five. Would you stretch the top five? I mean, the 1-5 to finish in the top 10. So it's I guess that's pretty much an open and shut case. Could I push you even further to top five or not?
I think it will score higher than Austria. Even though it's ranked around the same, I think it could get fifth. I don't think it'll go in the top three.
Rob, any thoughts on Holland?
This song is a prime example of why you should be watching your rehearsals and taking note of the people that are at the venues. This was 125, 150 to 1 a few weeks ago. No real chance based on what we'd seen from the sort of national final and YouTube. The staging of this, as Gav said, is absolutely brilliant. And this is what's changed it into a genuine contender now. People love this. I know there was a lot of sort of Netherlands flags and everything around. I mean, it is local. They will have decent support with it only being across the border in Denmark. But I think this is probably out of the top sort of six or seven in the betting, this is probably the best chance of the win for me.
I think
the others, you can make cases, obviously Sweden, Austria that we've talked about, there is sort of negatives around, but I don't really see a negative with this Netherlands song, because I think every sort of country can relate to the song, and I think that's why each way 125, 150 was absolutely brilliant. 3-1 now is probably a decent reflection of how much it's come in and its chance now, but I can see it definitely being in the top three.
Yeah, fair enough. Next up, let's have a look at Armenia. 11-2 in the betting. This is Aram MP3. I don't know if that's just it. Maybe there's an Aram WAV as well. That's one for the anoraks out there. It's called Not Alone, this one. You're not alone. What if it's only one kiss? I was rocking back and forward in my seat there, Jess. It's luckily we're not on webcam. I almost went into like a kind of rock mode. Armenia, what chances?
I think the hype around it at the start was just huge. That it just became such a short prize. But, I mean, it's not one of my favourite songs. I think there's other songs that are kind of like Finland Last Night and Norway. They were kind of on that same kind of genre, but I would definitely, I don't think they'll win. I think they'll definitely get a top five finish. The support out there for people is huge.
There'll be a lot of people, Gav, who've looked at the short price when they were very, very short and hoping that they fail spectacularly. There'll be quite a bit of money laying there, Armenia, I guess, won't there?
It was a classic back to lay with Armenia. I've pretty much walked away from Armenia now. It was great when it was first released because you kind of looked at the video, you sensed drama in the song, you thought they'd stage it a whole lot better rather than just having Aram stuck in the middle of stage doing nothing. The pyrotechnics totally, it's almost like an X Factor stitch-up that they're almost roasting him on a fire. It doesn't look good. I don't think it came anywhere near winning the semi-final. I think it probably came fourth or fifth. I just don't think the support's there, and I think that's probably reflected in its seventh slot in the final. So, you know, I was crunching the numbers today, trying to make a case for it not making the top 10, because you usually get 2 to 3 Eastern Bloc countries in the top 10, and I potentially got Ukraine, Azerbaijan just potentially making it, and Russia maybe just creeping in because nudge, wink, wink has been happening in Copenhagen. That's how I hear. So, you know, it might be a good price to take on.
Robert, is it in terms of the book, how does Armenia look for you in the book? Is that one of your biggest losers?
Yeah, Armenia's the worst result, but, I mean, it's basically been the worst result since people were backing it at sort of 8 to 11, 4 to 6. Bizarrely, we're quite happy now to take it on at sort of 11 to 2. If it wins, it's going to do it the hard way round, isn't it? It's obviously first in the semi-final, seventh in the final. It doesn't strike winner. The song is a little bit different. It is different. It's a bit more rocky than what we've a lot of the other ones up the top of the order. It's not the sort of it doesn't strike me as a Eurovision winner now.
Yeah.
And as Gab says, I think it does come in the top 10. I think it's going to have enough Eastern Bloc support to probably get it in the top 10. And it probably will be best of your sort of Ukraine, Armenia, Azerbaijan, that sort of area. But as I think the horse has bolted. Anybody who's on at odds on might be due a rocky ride tomorrow evening.
Let's have a look at UK's entry. 9-1, and a lot of a bit of a buzz around this as well. Molly Smitten Downs, if you haven't heard it yet, here's a little taster of this one. Hold on tight, this opportunity will take. Put an end to all the suffering before it gets too late. Hope's on the horizon, yeah. I'm not giving in. Yeah, we're the children of the universe, don't you know? Just dancing on the edge of time, and it's ours to own. Just children of the universe. That's the BBC version that we played there. Gav, there's a lot of... I mean, it's been a while since there was any real chance of UK doing anything in Eurovision. Take away the quality of the song, the quality of the setup, everything else. Are we loved enough?
I always make the argument that anyone can win Eurovision with the right song. Okay, you could probably throw San Marino out and the micro state.
Yeah.
But any kind of big nation can do well. If you go back to Jade Ewan, you know, she got fifth. If you go back to Blue, okay, they weren't told by the BBC that they had to sing properly on the jury rehearsal. So that they've actually renamed tonight's jury rehearsal the jury final, especially for Molly. So she makes sure she sings properly. You know, I think the love's there as long as you send a good song. And the thing with this year's song is that it's very accessible. It's got the right kind of message. Power to the people. It's all very poignant at the moment. It's very well staged. It's one of the best staged ones alongside the Netherlands. They've got a winner's pyro curtain, or golden shower, I like to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And it contrasts nicely. I mean, some people suggest that being placed 26th in the running order, people lose interest. And, you know, I could argue that, but I think they've had to do that because Denmark is drawn 23. So they've had to put almost like the big hitters in the market after Denmark to kill Denmark off. So I don't think UK are without a chance. If you think in this kind of close final, which it is going to be, as long as you're getting 4s, 6s and 8s from various countries, you're definitely within the shout.
Rob, obviously, like when you talk about sport and the UK are seeing the World Cup, people just blindly back them, maybe not this time, but in the past, blindly back them at prices which are way too short. Do you see the same thing in Eurovision? Do people back the UK whatever?
Yeah, this is my equivalent of the Football World Cup, really. People will back the UK blindly. People have backed the UK blindly since I started doing this in 2006, I think it was my first one. And every year, the UK has been the worst result. And the UK has been the worst result for 100 grand, 200 grand. And they've never, in the time that I've done it, we've had one top five finish, which was Jade Ewan in 2009. Mm. Pros for the UK. We've gone away from the big name, which I quite like. The sort of Engelbert Humperdincks and Bonnie Tyler's of the last 2 years have gone. It's a good song. It's probably one of the only songs I'd have on sort of my iPod, to be quite honest. This year, there's not really been that sort of standout of good song. There's been good songs, but I think the UK has this year a good standout song, which I think is probably better than the rest. The negative for the UK, for me, two things. This 26, I'm not overly happy that we were last. Ireland went last year and only managed 5 points. Mm. So you've got to try and look and think, well, once you've heard all the songs, once you get down to the 25, 26, people tend to switch off. People are thinking more about sort of halftime and the voting and the scoring goes on. 26 hasn't done very well over the last sort of 4 or 5 years. I don't think anybody who's sung last has actually made the top 10, which I don't know if Gav would be there to correct me, but from what I can see, 26 has always struggled. With the UK, I wonder where the televotes are coming from. I just wonder if we're going to get enough of the 6s and 8s that we require. I don't think this is one of these shows, as Gav said. I don't think this is one where you're going to win it with 8 or 9 maximums. It's probably the closest it's been for sort of 7, 8 years.
Mm. If you factor in the jury score, which that's going to be given tonight.
Yeah.
I could see that we're going to be getting 8s and 10s. We're going to be probably top 5 in the jury score, easy.
Right. Just anyone who's listening to this and they're not too au fait with Eurovision, how it all works, just explain the jury score very quickly, Gav, for us.
Okay, so everyone rehearses 3 times, and then you get a evening dress rehearsal, so it's the same for the semi-finalists, and that's always in front of the juries. And the juries have a certain period to allocate their points, and there are 5 jurors on each panel for each country, and they have to mark against on-stage impressions, vocals, contemporary nature of the song and whether it's original, so those kinds of things. And that, you know, if you look at if you compare it to, say, Austria, you know, is it really contemporary? No, it isn't. So that's another standpoint for Austria. But UK, yes, it is very contemporary. So yeah, anything over 10 to 1, I think UK's a cracking back.
Jess, there's a load of different markets on the William Hill website. One of them is how many UK maximums will the song get? So how many full points will they manage? What do you think? What's your opinion of the song, and how many maximum points can they get?
It's me.
Your voice has gone very deep, yeah. Jess.
Yeah.
Same question to you then, Ben. This is Ben Rhodes, by the way, everyone. Hello, Ben.
Yeah, talking to others around the area yesterday, it seems that people tend to really like the song. So I think that we definitely do have a chance of getting a few maximums maybe from a few countries that in the past have supported us, and maybe some surprise maximums in there. I think that it is a catchy song, and it is different from the others.
Yeah, under 1.5 maximums, Rob, you've put out at 1 to 2, so basically 1 or less, and 2 or more, 6 to 4. The way Gavin and other people who commentate on this are talking, I think that over 1.5 maximums has got a chance at 6 to 4.
I think so. If you look at Denmark, I don't see them giving 12 points to Sweden. I think they tend to go for a more...
anthemic, maybe.
Guitar-based, yeah. Or something more anthemic. Yeah. So I would say the common limits for the UK are the destination for Denmark's 12. Mm. And then obviously we've got the island effect, so yeah. You've potentially got two there. And then you've got maybe a bit of support from the block, surprising support from the block, that you know they're buying into the whole narrative behind the song, yeah. Power to the People and Children of the Universe.
Mm. You only need two for that to land, Rob. One of the markets that you liked, before we got onto the Hungary and Ukraine songs, was the finishing position, Rob. First to fifth is 5-4. Sixth to tenth is 11-8. 11th to 15th, 5-1. 16th to 20th, 10-1. 20-1 for 21st to 25th. And last place is 25-1. The 5-4 to finish in first to fifth place looks mighty short to me. What about 6th to 10th, Rob? Is that where you'd pitch it?
Yeah, definitely the 6th to 10th is where I've been looking. The 11th to 8th, I'd almost make a case for the 11th to 15th, but I think we've done enough. We've definitely done enough, I think, to finish in the top 10. But whether it's top 5, I still come back to the fact that while I think our jury score will be good, I just think the telly votes on the night might just dampen that top 5 finish. So for me, the 6 to 10th, the 11 to 8 is for me, better value than backing us for the win.
The penultimate song that we'll ever listen to is the Hungarian entry for Eurovision 2014.
Running from this crazy life. Keeps on running. Never sees the light. I can see the angel standing by your side.
Probably won't come as a massive surprise for me to say that's called Running. Andres Calais Saunders, Hungary, 14-1. Ben, when we were talking William Hill do, I think you and Jess both liked Hungary's chances. And the price is still quite attractive. It's a very catchy song, and it's got that kind of driving beat to it that you can imagine people really getting on board. It's got a great draw in 21st as well. Are you still keen, Ben?
Definitely. I really fancy Hungary there. I think that it's almost sneaked under the radar, really. Not too much has been said about potentially going on to win Eurovision, but there definitely is a great chance of really surprising a few people. I think it's a catchy song. Granted, it's one that is maybe similar to a few others. It might be hard to distinguish between them, but it's got a good placing, and it could. Pull a few prizes, definitely.
Yeah, I'm interested by the prices on this one, Gav, because you look at the top 10 finish. Hungary's 1-4, same as Austria. I mean, Ukraine 2-9, Armenia 1-5, Netherlands 1-5. Not a lot between all those. Yet you're getting 14-1 about the win compared to, say, Austria 3-1, Netherlands 3-1. What is it that stops it winning if you think it doesn't win? Why is it such a big price compared to those other two?
Well, it's got a good draw. Mm. But you've got to factor in the running order in context to this year rather than previous years. And again, you've still got that 23rd slot in the draw, which is Denmark, mm-hmm. Which is the big crowd, one of the big crowd pleasers. I think that one is potentially going to kill off Hungary's chances. And then you've got to look at the stage show. It's a very dark song in terms of narrative. It's very serious on stage. Andrus kind of over remotes. He's got that kind of constipated face. And that never does well on the TV cameras. People don't pick up the phone for that. And then obviously you've got to say that as a black man, he's going to struggle to get votes from the Balkans and Eastern Europe. Which, you know, it's unfortunate, but that's the way the contest works.
Yeah, yeah, it is. That is a factor you've got to build into this. Rob, your thoughts on Hungary? It hasn't really moved that much, has it?
To me, it's just gone under the radar. I don't. The running order, bizarrely, by being drawn 21 out of 26, as Gav says, has probably killed it off. It is quite a sort of melodramatic, dark song. And then when you look at sort of Malta, which is very Mumford and Sons coming up, you've got Denmark straight after it. Then you're going on to Netherlands. San Marino's quite upbeat, and then you finish with the UK. It's sort of the last, that sort of block that it's in with your sort of Spain, Switzerland, that sort of area. It's probably it's probably gone the wrong way. I'd like to have seen I'd like to have seen your sort of Denmark, Malta, Netherlands a little bit higher up, and then these a bit lower down. But it's just gone under the radar. It's a nice song, don't get me wrong. It just doesn't sort of strike me as a winner. You go on to social media and stuff, nobody's really talking about the song, and if they're not talking about it now, they probably won't be talking about it on Saturday night.
Fair enough. Same price. Ukraine, this is the last one we'll have a little listen to before we get some selections from the guys. That's for sure. TikTok by Maria Yaremchuk from the Ukraine's entry. Very popular, Gav, in the rehearsals, and popular on social media for obvious reasons. But that draw, first up, has it killed its chances?
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to kill its chances. I think there's still going to be a sympathy vote.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the each way market still appeals, and certainly the top 10.
Yeah.
Maybe even top block, top Eastern block member.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be a good bet. Staging again is another triumph, and Ukraine do it year after year. They just seem to polish these turds that they keep sending to Eurovision. Which if you go from when it was originally selected, it was in a dire state, and then it kind of got to Eurovision stage and we thought, oh dear, this doesn't look good, it's just a bloke running around in a hamster wheel. And then they sorted the camera angles out, she started interacting and smiling. Yeah, and it's all come together nicely. It's just a shame that it's got a first half. I think in the second half, it certainly could have posed a threat.
Yeah.
But I don't think Eurovision head office or HQ want a Ukrainian victory. So I think you've got to factor that in. So
yeah,
maybe top four, top ten.
Yeah, Rob, and you know, I think we've said it in previous podcasts when we've been discussing this. Hard to see Eurovision being hosted in Ukraine next year, isn't it?
Tough, isn't it? I think I think there's a few they weren't very keen on. I know they weren't very keen on Armenia. I think they'd already made sort of contingency plans if a few of these had won. So while I agree with Gav, it will pick up points, probably more Eastern Bloc points than anything else. It's bizarre. The Ferris wheel is probably the best bit about it. It's probably one of the more quirky points of the show. Going first, it's sort of killed its chances, hasn't it? So at 14-1, I can quite easily pass it over for me.
Here's a nice political one for you, Ben. Russia to give Ukraine 12 points in the final, 10-1 on. and the vice versa. Ukraine to give Russia 12 points in the final, 2-5. I'm not sure about the 2-5. The 1-10, you can maybe see Russia giving them the full 12 points. It has had a lot of support, actually, Ukraine's song, hasn't it? For the reasons we've mentioned. What do you think of it, Ben?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think the Russia is going to be a given, really, with what's going on. It's actually Jess's favourite of all the entries, so she'll be hoping it gets off to a good start tonight. I personally don't really see it. I don't really enjoy it, and I think that it's going first is going to be really hard to plug anything from there, really.
Yeah,
it'll, I think there's only so far sympathy can go, really.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think it'll get off to a great start. It'll make sure the whole thing gets off to a great start. That's the end of my clips. There are other songs, of course, with chances. I mean, you got Greece at 20s, Denmark at 25s. We've mentioned them quite a lot. Just going further down the list of prices, is there anything out there, Gav, that you look at and think that has got a genuine chance of a top 10 finish? That maybe something that isn't odds on, because, you know, they've got so many odds on shots in that top 10 market. You have to go right down to Norway before you get your first odds against price at 5-4. What do you think? Any surprises for us in the top 10?
I'm looking at the contrast of slot 13 and 14. So you've got Sanna Nielsen's Cold Ballad, yeah, and then you've got this Injection of Life from France.
Yeah, moustache, twin.
I mean, that looks amazing on stage. I mean, right. Really, when you see it, it's a proper foot tapper. It's going to play to vast waves of drunken Europe. So, yeah.
9-2 for a top 10 finish. Yeah,
I'd be all over that.
Yeah.
And also, Switzerland interests me. I think they did rather well in the jury score last night. I think they now have got third place in the semi-final. It could be a classic jury drop again, but it's an authentic song. He's happy. He's really engaging on stage. You know, he's very charismatic. I think he's his housewife kind of girl bait. I can see that probably sneaking a 10th place as well.
Yeah, that's Sabalta, Hunter of Stars. That's drawn in 20th. So it's a nice draw position. Let me give you the top 10 prices there. Switzerland 4-1 then, and France 9-2. The actual outright prices, remember, it's a quarter of the odds if you're looking at each way prices for a place in the top four. France 150 and Switzerland 80s. Robert, anything lower in the, not lower than them, but lower in the list from the favourites that we've mentioned?
I agreed with Gav for Switzerland. That's probably a lot better than I'd seen in sort of rehearsal clips as well for Switzerland last night. Malta, I'm interested in. Traditionally not the greatest Eurovision entries over the past years. This one's a little bit different, a bit Mumford and Sons, I think.
Yeah,
and I quite like this one, and I think 15-8 for top 10, I think it's got some legs in it as well.
Yeah, Firelight, the artist, and the track's called Coming Home. Again, nice draw, 22nd, so just before Denmark in the draw, just after Hungary. But that part of the draw does seem to be where most of the fancies are coming. Ben or Jess, whoever's there, what are the bigger fancies for you? I mean, would Hungary be your biggest price, Ben, or is there something else you spotted?
Well, I really agree with the guys about Switzerland. I think Switzerland were fantastic yesterday, and I think it's a great price to come top 10. It's a house price song. It's catchy. It's got whistling. I mean, what more can it really?
Yeah. To be fair, that's like a checklist, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's got pretty much everything. There's people dancing around. I would like to see how Poland do. I think Poland are a bit controversial because they've come back, and they were kind of surprised going through yesterday with the support they had. But they could do all right.
Yeah, they've got it's Donatan and Cleo, and the song translated is "Us Slavs, We Are Slavic," which I guess would be like "Us English, We Are English," which I suppose stands to reason. Are there any absolute turkeys out there, guys? You know, anything that's absolutely shocking? We've got this market where, you know, any country to get null point, it's yes 4-1, no 1-7. What are we looking out for the thing that's going to grab Twitter by the neck and wring it dry?
I think you're struggling for the nil point. Those people that might consider San Marino for that, you've got Italy just next door to them that'll probably send the car over.
Yeah.
Teo from Belarus. Interestingly, a few years ago, they sent Butterflies, and that was just beaten to last place by UK's Josh Dubovy. So, you know, then there might be some play in that, but again, he's housewife Gilbert as well.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't think you're going to get a nil point, to be honest, this year.
What finishes? But what is the worst? What's the worst one in your opinion? There you go. Is there anything that absolutely stinks?
Thing is, though, it's always an outsider that tends to hit last place.
Yeah.
But given that we've got some micro states and minnows, I think the three that I'd factor in is Slovenia, San Marino.
Yeah.
And I'd probably, given their record, I'd chuck Norway in there as well.
Yeah, Norway drawn fifth in the running order with Carl Espen's Silent Storm. San Marino penultimate, just before the UK and after Holland. with Valentina Minetta's Maybe. And the other one was Slovenia, which is Tinkara Kovac with Round and Round. Robert, is there a least favourite of yours? Which what is going to get tanked on social media?
Yeah, I think the Iceland one splits opinion, doesn't it? And I think they will probably get enough, they get the odd points from Scandinavia probably to stop them off the bottom. I think the worst thing for Iceland is sticking them next to Norway, which I think if you're going to split, you'd probably go with Norway over Iceland. I was looking, even if they've got a very good draw, I was actually looking at Slovenia maybe for getting bottom space, but I mean I think San Marino will get, I think San Marino will get bottom, but I think everybody will score points.
Very good. I think we've covered off most of the markets. If there's anything else anyone wants to put up, shout up now.
I would just say keep on backing Greece, top Balkan. Buying money.
yeah, 4-9 at the moment. Romania 5-2, 13-2 Slovenia, and Montenegro 7-1. 4-9 for them to be top Balkan country. Gav, thanks for your time today. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the enjoy tonight and enjoy the show tomorrow, of course. We'll look after you on the telly.
Thanks for the invite.
Gav Lambert from esctips.com. Go and check it out. There's loads on there. Loads of different articles on there with previews, song reviews, tips. There's also some chat rooms on there as well. So go and check it out. esctips.com. And thanks to Gav Lambert for his time. Thanks very much, Ben and Jess, if she's there. Appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate it.
Cheers. And Jess, I think she's learnt to use her phone as well while we've been recording.
Yeah,
it. So that's
fantastic.
Thanks, guys. Rob, you're going to stay around and have a quick chat about Britain's Got Talent, because you've not had enough of me yet. We haven't got much time, though, so we can't really dwell on this too much. Is that all right with you?
No, that's fine. Go for it.
Yeah, not much change in the betting, really, either, in terms of who's there. But a couple more inclusions. Jack Pack is the main one at 9-1. The rest of the betting pretty much stays as it is. Have you seen much action in the betting for BGT this week?
It's been a very quiet week, obviously. I think any specials punter would be heading towards Eurovision, and I can't really see much changing up to the 7 o'clock start tomorrow.
No.
Jack Pack, definitely the standout last week.
If you haven't seen this, this is the four guys singing. A bit of controversy since, hasn't it? It's turned out that, you know, surprise, surprise, they've supported Westlife. I mean, I don't know why this is controversy anymore.
Decent money for this week. 9-1. They're like four Michael Bublé's, really. Michael Bublé tribute act. But, yeah, I mean, Simon Eyes lit up. You could see the money sign, the dollar signs coming in again for them. There wasn't really much else to sort of compete with him last week. Kieran Lay was another one at 14-1. Looks a little bit too short in the market.
The BAFTA awards are this weekend as well, so you can check out all the prices there. Anything that's changed dramatically in the BAFTA TV awards?
Not really. No, I still like the Broadchurch and Olivia Colman, albeit at short prices.
1-3 now, Broadchurch.
15 now for Best Actress and 1-3.
Yeah, we put that up at a better price than that, didn't we, a few weeks ago?
Yeah. The main one is which way you're going to go with the Best Continuing Drama, or as I like to call it, Best Soap.
Yes.
It's basically a match bet, really, between EastEnders and Coronation Street. 4-6 EastEnders, 7-4 Coronation Street.
Rob, thanks for your time. Enjoy Eurovision, I know you will.
Yes, pleasure.
If you're watching Eurovision yourself, you're having a bet on it with any of the tips that we've been given in the podcast, then very, very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.